On Thursday, August 21st, 1879, 15 people witnessed an apparition at Knock, County Mayo in Ireland. It was the most unusual apparition, so unusual that we might even miss the point of it. Then one of the visionaries, Bridget Trench, explained, "I was so taken by the Blessed Virgin that I did not pay attention to any other. At the center of the gable of that church, the witnesses saw an altar and a lamb on it, about the size of a two-month-old lamb. The lamb was facing in the direction of Our Lady, John the Evangelist, John the Baptist, and St. Joseph. The lamb, behind the lamb was a large cross on the altar. And it was the only apparition in the world that I'm aware of in which Jesus has come as a lamb. John the Evangelist was preaching. He had a book in his hand that looks like the book of the Gospels. The apparition, if you really look at it there, you realize it's a representation of what takes place at the Mass. That every Mass, the Word of God is proclaimed to us in the liturgy of the Word. And then the liturgy of the Eucharist, Jesus is offered to the Father in sacrifice on our behalf. Just as in the apparition in Knock, John was preaching the Word. The lamb was being offered on the altar. The apparition in Knock was there to remind us that Jesus is the Lamb of God. As John the Baptist says in our gospel, who comes to take away the sin of the world. That as ordinary time opens up, the lectionary continues to introduce Christ to us. The last week he was baptized, obtaining for us many gifts, that he was manifested by the Father. This week is a kind of a continuation of sort, as John the Baptist elaborates on who Jesus is. That John's words are brief, but they're packed with teaching about who Jesus is, Christological teaching. That in this gospel we learn different things. We learn that Jesus is prefigured, pre-existent, preeminent, powerful, and the presence of God. That it starts out, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Now, unless you know the history of this moment, it seems a little odd. A full-grown man approaching John the Baptist, his cousin, says, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." But for those who know the scriptures, John is really answering a question that was asked by Isaac some 1,800 years prior to this event. That in that event prior, 1,800 years before John the Baptist and Jesus, Abraham had received a message from God, a strange and terrible command, that he had to take his only son, promised to him by God, to Mount Moriah, which in this gospel is present-day Jerusalem, and there to offer him in sacrifice to God. That as they arrive at the foot of Mount Moriah, Abraham is carrying that wood for the burnt offering. Lays it on Isaac, his son. And then he takes in his own hand the fire and the knife, and they both go together. And Isaac says to his father Abraham, "My father." And Abraham goes and responds, "Here I am, my son." And Isaac goes and says, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham replied, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And so both they went off together. And he goes, makes that altar on Mount Moriah, binds up Isaac, is about to sacrifice his son when the angel of God stops him. Instead, they sacrifice a ram in place of that, of God acknowledging that faithfulness, that loyalty of Abraham to his commands. Do we get it, though? That a promised son has wood laid upon his shoulder, is made to carry it up a hillside, the same hillside where Golgotha will one day be found. That on top of that hill, he is laid on the wood to be sacrificed, to be killed. It sounds rather familiar. It's a prefigurement of Christ, a type of Christ. There's things that's starting to look grim for Isaac, who gets nervous and basically says, "Daddy, where is the lamb?" And we heard the rest of the story. It's true that there was a ram caught in that thicket, which God provided that day. But that ram pointed to Christ, pointed to that perfect sacrifice that Christ makes on the cross. And so the question, where is the lamb wafted up in the breeze? God repeated down through the generations of the Israelites. And some 500 years later, after Abraham, at the end of the Egyptian slavery, the blood of the lamb was also protected Isaac's descendants from death. That every Passover, the question is still asked, where is the lamb? Referring to the Passover lamb. Here, too, the Passover lamb was but a symbol, a prefigurement of Christ. And so now, standing on the banks of the Jordan River, John the Baptist answers that question, repeated down through the centuries. Where is the Lamb? Look, there is the Lamb of God. And so the first thing we learn about Jesus is that he was prefigured here and in many other places throughout the Old Testament. Next, John the Baptist goes on to say, he is the one of whom I said, a man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me. Now this too is a strange thing for a man to say about his younger cousin. Jesus was born 6 months after John the Baptist. Yet John says, he existed before me. John is clearly teaching us here of Christ's preexistence. But right before assuming his human nature, Jesus existed as the Son of God, as the Word of God, eternally with the Father. There never was a time where that Son of God was not. He's eternally begotten by the Father. He existed before all ages. Scripture says this of him, for in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Or we can think of John's prologue. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Then John the Baptist says, I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel. In effect, John is saying, I exist for him. My purpose is to reveal him. I am the forerunner. He must increase. I must decrease. Jesus is greater than John or any of the prophets or any world leader. Jesus is that groom. John, his cousin, is simply the best man, making sure that the groom shows up, pointing to him when the groom shows up. And then John testified further, saying, I saw the Spirit coming down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. On whoever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. That the baptism of John could only announce repentance and call for it. Could not truly wash away sins. The baptism of Jesus can. It has for us. Even more, it doesn't take away sins. But Jesus' baptism also confers the Holy Spirit upon us, makes us that temple of the Holy Spirit, makes us that child of God, that adopted son or daughter of God. We are thus given a whole new life. Sin is taken away, and in the place, grace upon grace is given. Grace to restore us, to renew us, to refashion us. Grace that equips, empowers, and enables us. Grace that sanctifies, that gives us that sonship, that seals us with the Holy Spirit. And all this in fulfillment of what the prophet Ezekiel says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you. A new spirit I will put within you. I will take out from your flesh a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Be careful to observe my ordinances. That this is what we have received. We have received him. We have received Christ. He has that power to make us the children of God. Then finally, John the Baptist says, now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God. that Jesus would say elsewhere, to see me is to have seen the Father. The Father and I are one. That as the Son of God, He manifests the Father. He is the presence of God in the world. He shares fully in the one divine essence. And as the Son shows us the Father, He is the presence of God among us. And so we see these different things that John the Baptist is teaching us about who Jesus is. That He has existed forever, was prefigured in the Old Testament, has priority above and beyond anyone we know or think is important. He has the power not only to save us from sin, but to give us that very life of God, His own very life. And as the Son of God, He is God. And thus, God's very presence among us. That He's not just a man from Galilee. He is the very God from heaven. That this is what our life is built upon. Built upon Him. He is the foundation of our life. We need to continue to make Jesus the foundation of our life. He is the Lamb who will take away our sins. And psychologists can help us get insight into the human cause of our problems. Counselors can help us to deal with our guilt. But Jesus, the Lamb of God, can take that guilt away. That a bartender once said to me, he's heard many confessions. And I'm sure he has. But he could not absolve those sins. And likewise, when I was a seminarian, people would come up to me and say, oh, Father, and I'm saying, I'm not a priest, I'm sorry. They're like, well, I want my confession heard. I'm like, well, you can tell me your sins. I just can't absolve them. I'm not a priest yet. That is what Jesus has done for us. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And because we're sick in the soul, we should go to Jesus to relieve our burden. And we need to ask ourselves during this week, what are our burdens? Is it technology? Is it anger, lust, materialism? And we need to realize what our burdens are. Ask Jesus to relieve them of us. Go to confession. To be freed of those burdens. To be liberated from sin. To live truly free in our Savior. That the peace that we want, we can find in Jesus. That only Jesus, the Lamb of God, can bring us that peace that we need and heal our souls. That the apparition at Enoch reminds us that during every Mass, Jesus is that Lamb of God, offered to the Father for us. That in every Mass, we hear, have that time for Holy Communion. That when we near that time, we hear the Lamb of God three times. Twice to take away our sins, once to grant us peace. That in response, the priest raises the host, says, behold the Lamb of God. Behold Him who takes away the sins of the world. And so when we call Jesus the Lamb of God during Mass, it reminds us that we have heaven on earth. That Jesus is present to us. That at that moment of consecration, earth and heaven are united on the altar. The angels are ascending and descending upon the altar as Jesus becomes present to us. That is what is happening when the priest, when I say, this is my body, this is my blood. That happy are we who are called to that supper of the Lamb.